Please join me in prayer.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen. You may be seated. Dear Jerome, Stephanie, Cher, Jerome Jr., Sally's other family, her friends, brothers and sisters in Christ of Pilgrim Lutheran Church, grace to you in peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
From the image that looks back at you from the bulletin cover to the concluding collect, Sally's funeral service today is replete with imagery and references to the Lord as our good shepherd, a revelation of the risen Lord that both would have been near and dear to Sally from her praying of the Psalms and is near and dear to many people, especially at times like this. We heard some of the scripture's Old and New Testament references to that figure of speech, Jesus as our good shepherd. And of course, there are others, some of which I'll mention as we consider today's scriptures under the theme, "The Lord, our good shepherd, has gathered Sally into his arms." That the Lord, our good shepherd, has gathered Sally into his arms was not welcome news for those of us here who already miss her, a wife of more than 50 years, a lifelong mother and grandmother who maybe always has been there for you until now, a dear sister in Christ, a friend, and so forth. Humanly speaking, you might be understandably angry at God over Sally's eternal death. But divinely speaking, you should not be so angry. For Sally's earthly death is a consequence of God's righteous wrath, both for her original sin that she inherited from her parents, Kenneth and Joanne, and at the actual sins that Sally committed as a result of that original sin. And no doubt those of you who knew Sally generally better than others knew her sin better than others too. But of course, Sally was not the only sinner, and so was not the only one at whose sin God was and is righteously angry. We all inherit original sin and commit actual sins too. Those who know you generally better than others know your sin better than others too. And God knows your sin best of all. As we heard the Old Testament reading cry, all flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. Later, Isaiah says, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And Isaiah continues, the Lord has laid on him, his suffering servant Messiah, the iniquity of us all. One of my first memories of really getting to know Sally was when she first came to me for private confession and for individual absolution. Sally was keenly aware of her own sin. Some might think that she was too aware of it, but we all should be so aware of our own sin. More than aware of her own sin, Sally knew where to find forgiveness for her sin from her once crucified but now risen and resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. And she valued the means by which she could receive that forgiveness from her Lord, means such as individual holy absolution. As God called and enabled Sally to repent, God certainly calls and enables us all to repent from our sin, to turn in sorrow from our sin, to trust God to forgive our sin, and to want to do better than to keep sinning. When we so repent, then God forgives our sin, all our sin, whatever our sin might be, for the sake of that once crucified, but now resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Some people thought Sally had uniquely a direct red line right to the Lord Jesus Christ, but she certainly did not have one any more than any other Christian has one in prayer. Some people think if Sally could not get into heaven with her piety, then no one could get into heaven. And that at least is closer to the truth, in that no one can get into heaven on their own. But it misses the mark in that Sally's piety was not what got her into heaven. But what got her into heaven was her God-given faith in God's amazing grace for Jesus' sake. Amazing grace that was not only available to Sally, but amazing grace that is available to all of us sinners. As the epistle reading reminded us, the God-man Jesus Christ suffered outside of the gate of Jerusalem to sanctify the people, that is, to make us holy through his own blood, shed on the cross, not only for Sally, but also for you and for me. In the gospel reading, we heard that Lord Jesus, our good shepherd, himself say that he had the charge with authority from the Father, both to lay down his life for us sheep and to take his life back up again. His laying down his life for us and his taking it back up again is what makes him our good shepherd. He knows his own, and his own know him. They listen to his voice. And because he, our Redeemer, lives, those who believe in him shall conquer death. He lives our mansions to prepare, and he lives to bring us safely there. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He who believes in him will live, even though she dies. And whoever lives until he returns will never die. Outside of the Good Shepherd's flock, apart from his church that gathers around his means of grace, his word in all of its forms, or with a hireling who leaves the sheep and flees, not with the Good Shepherd via a faithful under-shepherd, there is danger from the wolf, who snatches the sheep and scatters them, which means certain destruction. Faithful under-shepherds pay careful attention to themselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made them overseers, to care for or pastor the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. Sally understood the importance of the Lord's body and blood with bread and wine in the sacrament of the altar, as she often came in order to receive it from me privately when, for whatever reason, she did not get here on a Sunday in order to receive it with the congregation. Sally gifted me with several spider plants that are thriving in my home, and Sally cared for my wandering Jew plant in my study here at church more than once. No doubt she well appreciated Jesus' illustration about himself as the vine and us as the branches that need to abide or remain in him, such as through his means of grace, his word in all its forms, in order to bear good fruit. I understand that this last Christmas was pretty special in the Key family, as for the first time in some 20 years, nearly everyone was together. As special as that was, I think Sally and all y'all would enjoy more your being together in heaven for eternity. If Sally seemed to nag you or others about God, such as by calling you to let you know, as if you did not know, that the church met on Sunday morning, you know that she did so because she loved you, as God loves you. You know that she did so because she cared about your eternal soul, and she wanted you to be there for the blessed reunion in heaven. Such spiritual care and concern were good works that flowed from her faith in keeping with her vocations of wife, mother, grandmother, friend, and the like. No doubt her faith was manifest in good works in keeping with other vocations that she had as special ed teacher, farmer, and long-haul truck driver. 10 years of driving from 6 to 6 overnight. Here at Pilgrim, her good works were in keeping with her vocations that included singing in the choir, teaching Sunday school and vacation Bible school, crocheting cross-marked crib blankets and lap afghans, and taking her turn, what we call slicking up the buildings, and singing hymns aloud while doing it. I miss that already. What do we do without her? With daily repentance and faith, we live as she did in God's forgiveness of sins, extending his forgiveness and our own forgiveness out to all those with whom God brings us into contact. We receive comfort from the Redeemer who lives to silence our fears, to wipe away our tears, to calm our troubled hearts, and all blessings to impart. As the divinely inspired author of the epistle reading reminded us, the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, will equip us with everything good that we may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through our Lord Jesus Christ. As we heard from Isaiah in the Old Testament reading, the Lord God tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms, he carries them in his bosom, and he gently leads those that are with young. The Lord, our good shepherd, has gathered Sally into his arms. Why last Thursday? And why the way that he did so? One answer is because it pleased him to do it then and in that way. And as Isaiah says later, his thoughts are not our thoughts, nor our ways his ways. But his ways and thoughts are higher than our ways and thoughts, as the heavens are higher than the earth. The Lord is not arbitrary or capricious, but in fact, then and in that way, he fulfilled promises to Sally that he had made to her in her holy baptism, as he offers to fulfill promises to you. Sally has come through the valley of the shadow of death, comforted by the Lord, our good shepherd's rod and staff, his law and gospel. And so you can be comforted and come through that valley too. Partake of the feast that he has prepared before you in the presence of your enemies, and goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. And you can dwell forever with Sally and with all others who have come before and who will come after her in the faith in the house of the Lord, with resurrected and glorified bodies in the lasting city that is to come. Amen.
Amen.
Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.